bullshit.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, sounds like one. Hey, what are you doing with my laptop? Hey, dude, come on, give it back. It's gonna get soaked.
Hold on. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
What the hell, man? You want to get hit by lightning? Come on, man. Give it back to me, dude.
No, stop. Do you hear that? Do you know what that means?
Time to go back inside?
No, you moron. The storm hour is on.
Hello, and welcome to the storm hour. I am Jake Chief, and she is...
Squirrely Girl.
Yes, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Storm Hour. Let's just start off with how our weeks were.
Oh, my week? My week was good. My night was bad. We had a wonderful thunderstorm and lightning, and, you know, I turned into a 3-year-old. And, you know, so I'm cuddled in a fetal position going, I'm not okay. And, yeah, so I didn't get much sleep last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I blame the kids. Yeah, they were the ones that were freaking out. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my week's been going pretty good. I have finished the filming part of the first episode of The Ring of Time. Now I just have to, get the special effects done, Afterthought's working on some of them and get all the editing done and send the files to Ricky Grove for the sound, and Jesse Pringle's going to be working on the music. So now I just have to send everything to everybody and work on, you know, the part that takes forever. So how's your week been?
It's tiring. Yeah, I'm like half awake right now. Or half asleep, whatever you like to call it. I don't know if you guys will believe me if I say this, unless you're in the chat right now, as I mentioned it before, but I just got Blunder. Yay!
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and I remember, yeah, like, I knew everyone kept on telling me, it's like, that's how they all go bald. Including the women. You know, all the women that I know now are bald from using Blender. And
Jake, I'm going to apologize up front for this. You're going to hear a loud noise because I'm going to log into the chat because I wasn't in.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I just didn't think it was going to be this complicated. I don't even know how to make something so far. It's just like the only thing I see is like a block, and that's it. So I don't even know how to use it so far. So I'm just like staring at the computer, waiting for my next move, and then it turns out my hand's not moving.
You gotta watch all those tutorials now.
Yeah.
It's not instant programming. But, you don't know what you're doing instantly.
But what inspired me to do this was the movie Centel by the Blender Foundation. It's a good movie. I rewatched it today. Love it. As always, I recommend it to y'all who have not seen it yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good movie. I've seen it.
Yeah.
So that inspired you to get Blender?
Yeah, that inspired me to get Blender. Now, I have to probably stay up all night and watch tutorials. And probably that won't help me either. Now, if you excuse me, I'll take a nap in the corner.
Okay. Well, we could go ahead and bring Mike in if you want. Since
should I just go over what's been happening in Movie Storm so far?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and do that.
All right. Did it say Saturday? Okay. Just so I know. Movie Storm is making, a new development for Movie Storm 1.4.2. Can you guys hear me? Hello? I can't hear anyone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh,
sorry.
You can't? Okay, so I can hear
you. It was my mic. I moved and it unplugged.
Okay, so I can hear anyone. Like, hello?
It was my bad this time.
I didn't know if you guys could hear me either, so I was just like, okay. So I just heard, like, first I heard static, and then I heard nothing, like, right now. But I'll just keep on talking. Development for Movie Storm 1.4.2 is now in production right now for Movie Storm. They're trying to make some new developments, including there's been so much rampage going on with Movie Storm for everyone making petitions and stuff to get rid of the mountains in the background. And during that petition, Movie Storm said that they're actually thinking of finding a way to get rid of it without having the blackness at, beyond the mountains where the backdrop just ends. Looking forward to
how we do that. Yeah, I read that. That is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it will be good. And then there's also new add-ons in production right now by Movie Storm. A few have already been released, like the
Did you get your sniper rifle?
Yes, I got my sniper. Just loaded it with awesomeness, and I haven't tried it out yet though. But like once I started Movie Storm and all of a sudden I saw the theme, getting a sniper rifle. I'm like, oh cool. But I love this new bonus thing that they're having. For us subscribers.
It looks like the rifle's got a couple different versions. One is for the, you know, you put it on the ground and then the character can interact with it by laying down and looking through it. And then I think there's a handheld version and then a static prop.
Yeah. And then there's this new movie called Heat by Joyce Carol Oates, which is a nice adaptation of a short story. So it's on YouTube right now. I'll just post a link here.
So, did you see the other stuff that they're working on for Movie Storm? Besides the mountains? They have binoculars.
Oh, yeah, the binoculars, the
wheelchair.
Wheelchair.
And the person's going to be able to, like, get in and out of it and move the wheelchair.
Yeah. And then it's also, like, a robe-type thing, I think.
Oh, yes, I want more robes.
Yes. Very comfortable.
For my series. Everybody can't wear the same thing. That's just not right.
And then there's this new Movie Storm video called Anchorman, which seems like it's a takeoff of the Anchorman movie from 2004 with Will Barrel in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's for the Movie Storm competition. So, I'll post that.
Yeah, and, speaking of, new things, did you notice the, two-person animations that KB's working on?
Is it the killer animations thing?
Yeah. Yeah, he got it to work, so it's they're two people interactions, like where somebody grabs somebody's clothes. Yeah. So, you know, I sent him a list of stuff, so nobody else can ask KV for anything till he gives me my stuff, okay? I don't hear the okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first modder that I know of that has figured out how to do two people animations.
Yeah, it's really cool. So congratulations to KV.
And I'm sorry for all the 50 billion PMs you're going to get from everybody, including mine, saying, hey, could you make this?
Yes.
Yeah, and he also did release an update for his animations. He had some male anim- animations out, and he made an update where they're usable with the female. Trying to find... Yeah. So, definitely get that, because, you know, there's some really good facial animations in there, but there's also some good comedy-type rude animations. Did you see the demo for that?
Not yet, no. Yeah, sounds really cool. Oh my God, what's wrong with me today?
Papa G told me I have to share him, so I guess I will.
yeah, they're really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, so there's also some Venetian blinds that Writerly put out that are animated and can open and close.
Groovy.
And, you know, which is really cool because crime dramas, you know, you have the Venetian blind. You can peek out and see the people coming.
You know what would be a dream of mine? That would happen in Movie Storm. Would be if there would be some kind of pack that they make that would be fantasy related, like a JRRRRR token.
Book. I think there's only one R.
Yeah, it's two but, R's actually.
Really?
Yeah, there are J, like Richard R or something like that.
Yeah, I would like that too.
That would be really cool because I'm reading the book right now, Children of Hero Hand.
But I think we might be in the minority of people who want that right now.
Yeah. The only ones right
now. We need to get a petition.
Yeah.
Have everybody sign it.
Yeah, but now we know that petitions work.
And, and speaking of modding and animation, we have a guest. Do you want to take a break before we bring him in?
Yes, please, because I need to take a quick nap so I can eat while this is the show.
To take a break, and we'll come back with Mr. Mike DeBoing.
Yes, so...
Who has turned to the dark side of Movie Storm.
Yes,
and we won't let it go.
But, Mr. Kenny White, little Kenny, can take us out now.
He's going to hit you. I'm going to hurt.
Turn again. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
And we're back. And Jake's going to choke to death. And we're going to record it. So.
I feel fine.
There you go. And we have Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dying right now. yeah, and we're back. I think that just woke me up. And we're back. We're back on the Storm Hour. Thank you for staying tuned. Glad you could listen. And we have Mike, your boy. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. I know that you're not doing so great, but hey. it's important to breathe, you know. Breathe.
And chew. Your
and
food.
Chew.
22 times.
Yeah. Before swallowing. Before. So you got Blender today.
What?
You got Blender today.
Yes, I did. And like I told you during the break, just kept on staring at it for the whole hour that I bought it.
Okay. One thing you have to learn. You have to push buttons. It doesn't have voice recognition. It's not an AI. You can't say, all right.
Yeah, I have to say, work, and wasn't doing anything. I was wondering why.
Yeah. There's this little thing called a mouse and a keyboard. You'll have to get really friendly with it. And you're, excuse me. Okay, now I'm choking. You're going to have to be very, very patient and also memorize a lot of little tricks and little details like, what button does what function does what. But most important, you know that cube?
Oh, yeah, the cube, yeah. That pops up.
Well, yeah, where every time you open it, there's you go, you get a cube. Well, that could turn out to be your best friend. Most tutorials you're going to see online are going to say, you just delete the cube. Me personally, I always start with a cube. No matter what I do, no matter what model I make, I always start with a cube because it's one of the easiest form you can think of when you think about modeling. Mm-hmm. And essentially, it's a volume that you can slice and dice any way, shape, form. You can make a ball out of it if you want to.
Ooh.
And once you start messing around, it's pretty easy, actually, when you start. Now, as I understand it, you haven't tried any 3D modeling or anything, right?
Correct.
Okay, so from there, see, you have an edge. And I'll explain to you why. Because me personally, I tried a lot of 3D software, and they all have different shortcuts. They have different keystrokes. They have the layout, of course, is different. So every time I look at a new user interface, I always try to avoid making parallels and comparisons to something I use on a regular basis. So in essence, I have to unlearn what I've learned. And this is a really hard part because you're always fighting against yourself saying, well, you know, they do this this way. Why can't they do this the other way, right?
Yeah.
And this is, one thing I had been struggling with Max because the keyboard layout is so different and, the look in general is different. Now, I assume you have 2.57, the latest build of Blender?
Yes, that's what it seems like.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're in luck because this is the most stable, the most user-friendly I've seen.
Cool.
If you once tried Blender in the past and you'd looked at the 2.4 series, you might have gone and say, no way I'm touching this. There is just no way I'm even going to try this. But I have to say, with 2.5 and up, you're in luck. They've really gone to a lot of lengths to actually make it user-friendlier. Okay, little specifications here. It's not user-friendly. It's user-friendlier than the one before. It's by no means user-friendly. Trust me on this. But once you get to it, it's actually getting better, and it's easier once you start messing around with it. Now, that cube is going to be your guinea pig to begin with. And take the time to actually, you know, push buttons. See what works. See what doesn't work.
So, Mike, Papa G is saying that the layout in Blender is customizable. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. It's very customizable. Every window can be pretty much every window possible. You can move things around. You can switch. You can subdivide to your heart's content. You can modify some panels' behavior. Now, keep in mind, most of the tools and toolboxes have panels to themselves, and that tool panel is context sensitive. So if you are animating, some tool panels will actually show animation options. And if you go into modeling, the same panel can actually change behavior. So you got to be aware of that. Now, the way they've made it friendlier is that all the tools are mostly connected into one or two panels. They're pretty, self-explanatory. The layout used to be interchangeable, meaning that you could actually select a name of a panel and move it around all by itself. Now, in 2.57, it seems to have been locked for some reason. So you might find yourself scrolling long lists of panels to get to the one that is going to be hidden somehow at the bottom of the list. Used to be you could actually pick it up, drag it across top side, and move it around. Now, for some reason, I don't know why, they seem to have lost that feature. It was, I think, something that actually was a lot better than, the old way of doing stuff. But for some reason, they've just locked it down. I don't know why. But notwithstanding, it's pretty much a very, very good why to begin with. Chew, Jake, chew.
Now, I was going to ask you, Mike, since, it's Movie Storm show, and you have started modding in Movie Storm. The cat's already been let out of the bag.
Yep.
What are you finding that's different modding in Movie Storm than other programs, than, say, the movies?
For some reason, the scale is absolutely humongous. I don't know why that is. I'm actually looking at a model that I've done recently. It's the cloak. And to give you an idea, in Blender you have a grid. It's 10 units by 10 units. That one cloak actually takes up more than 10 units, meaning that it's the size of a world. It is that big. It is. I thought, Sexy Maria's giant for the movies was big. This is 1,000 times bigger. And it took me by surprise, because when I downloaded Reacher's female and male skeletons to build, to start building the cloak, I was looking at the grid, and I could see that there was, yes, a point in space that was being pointed to, but no bones. And I'm thinking, okay, what went wrong? And I re-imported it, and I look at the outliner, and it shows me that there is a lot of stuff in the scene, yet I can't see it. And I'm thinking, okay, is it hidden? And I look at the outliner, it says, nope, everything's visible. And then it hits me, well, okay, how big is this thing? So I started backing up, and lo and behold, I had four skeletons, one on top of each other, but they were massive. And I mean, the first time I saw a foot bone, I thought, wait, what happened? It's all gray. did I lose, you know, my 3D window all of a sudden? No, I just kept backing up, and there it was. So in this respect, it is quite the change from the movies, because in contrast, a skeleton for the movies will actually take 1/10 of a grid space, which is 1/10 of a blender unit. So you're looking at a 1/10 of a grid space. So in essence, it's 1,000,000 times smaller than what MovieStorm actually uses.
Wow.
So it is quite the change. I'm used to working in decimals. In MovieStorm, you actually works in thousands of units for the smallest part. So it's quite the change. And apparently the Blender folks are actually not used to working that way, because every default setting makes it so small that you can't see it, actually. So you always have to backtrack a lot. And but other than that, it is pretty straightforward. I have to say that the skeleton is different from the movies. It's got a lot more bones. And the layout is really different. There seems to be kind of a node-based architecture where you have points in space that are actually just points in space, while you have intermingled with that, you have bones, and it's really, really hard to figure it out. Simply because the names keep repeating themselves over and over, yet if you, if you go to pick out a bone, it will not actually show up in the list until you unroll that list, and you have to find it, which is kind of a pain, because everything starts with the same name. So you run out of real estate in your screen really quick, because you keep unrolling and going to sub menus and sub levels, and all of a sudden, oh, there it is. And the naming convention is not that bad, but then again, it keeps repeating itself. So it is a pain to have to, you know, look at it and say, why did they have to make it so hard on everyone, you know, in comparison to the movies, yeah. Which someone not used to it would actually find it just as unbearably complex as, as I find it right now. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Mesh is a mesh, a vertex is a vertex, a face is a face, so, but then again, there are certain limitations beside the size. Face count seems to be a problem. In the movies, I've made, costumes that were running in the hundreds of thousands of faces, which I am understanding that in MovieStorm, that's a definite no-no.
No, I think I believe a puppet fully clothed with hair is 10,000 poly count.
That is really low. As far as, you know, it's actually a little bit lower than some of the brand new games that have been coming out for, the PC and the consoles. These guys have pushed the 100,000 polys for entire worlds, and some of them have gone beyond that. And so I was surprised that MovieStorm actually is lower than this, right? So, but that's not a problem, because, you know, in the old days of the game, we could do an entire world with five whole faces. Yeah.
For everybody that's listening, if you don't know, Mike is working on a cloak for a female character, a hooded cloak, and one that goes over the clothes.
Yeah, that's a problem. Go ahead.
I have another question. Besides the cloaks, like, what else do you think you're going to be modding in the industry?
Well, from what Shirley's been telling me, sky's the limit. I'm actually thinking of opening and getting back to some of the mods I've done for the movies, and actually rescaling and exporting for MovieStorm. So in the near future, once I have a better understanding of what the limitations are, the formats, all that data that needs to be, you know, formatted in a certain way, you could probably see a whole lot of new costumes, a lot of props, some vehicles like my attack helicopter. The one project that I wanted to do, sort of like a full circle to the original model that I did, the first one I did for the movies, was a FN-90 submachine gun. And Shirley was telling me that, yeah, there is a big demand for sniper and all kinds of weaponry that a lot of people seem to think, yeah, it's lacking in MovieStorm. So, you know, very creative ways of destroying stuff and killing people. It seems to be in demand, so.
Yeah, they just came out with a sniper rifle, but a machine gun would be nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, the FN-90 comes with and without a silencer. It's already very low poly, so I'm not quite, I'm pretty sure it will export really right. All I need to do now is how to set it up in the Blender world where, you know, it'll be facing the right direction, shooting in the right way. Like in the movies, we have anchors, which is basically a non-entity object that points in one direction, and this is where the bullets are going, you know, going from to. And I need to know a little bit of the specifics to make it workable, if it is at all possible or if it's needed. And once from there, well, if I carry on, the second one will be my Hind Russian attack helicopter, complete with submachine guns and rocket launchers. If I can manage animation, I would actually have the rockets actually fire, the Gatling guns actually rotate while it's being used. I would have the landing gears go up and down, and the rotors actually work. That would be fun. But I don't know how, you know, how much of that stuff is needed, but it's controlled by MovieStorm. So there's a lot to learn, really. And I do believe from there, I think the sky's the limit. You know, if I can cover costume, props, and eventually sets, then pretty much everything I've done over the years could actually be exported to MovieStorm.
Yeah, cool. And, but do you think you're going to, like, film out from MovieStorm?
Well, I don't have it installed. So, and I'm not too keen on the subscription thing. So I'm going to actually rely a lot on the users to actually tell me if they work or not. That's where Shirley comes in. And you too, Jake, if you feel so bold as to try stuff that could actually make your computer melt.
My computer is already melting, so I'm gonna release it.
Could be a short testing period. Could also be a good incentive to upgrade, you know. So, most of the stuff that I do actually tends to be on the low poly side unless I can't avoid it, simply because I come from a era where, you know, you had to do a lot with a lot less than what we're supposed to be, able to do now. So my way of working is always optimization as much as possible. That goes for poly count, texture count, animation keyframes are always kept to a minimum, and you know, there's never or rarely any extra that's not going to be seen hidden anywhere. And the way I figure is that, you know, I work on it, might as well show it, right? So if I can avoid it, you know, I will not have geometry hidden somewhere that will not be seen. One, once you start texturing, it's loss of space, and I tend to think that, you know, the more you optimize your assets, the more you can put into a scene, and, you know, the more complex the scene will actually look without actually being that complex. So I'm thinking, you know, give the user's machine a break. This is one this is one reason why I'm really hoping that Second Life will actually turn to mesh, because it's really, really, really I've seen a lot of stuff out there that actually could use mesh. It's so overblown that it just makes my computer crawl, and I don't have a good experience in Second Life just because of that. So I'm kind of hoping that once they get into a mesh, my frame rate is going to be improving, and I'll be able to enjoy myself a little bit better. And this is where my soul gets sold for the last Linden. But that's another way. That's another topic altogether, and we'll keep it to Movie Storm. Now, I'm kind of curious. The whole subscription thing, does that include? Do I have to add anything in the mesh itself to make it, I don't know, available to users, or what?
Okay. You, let me see if I can explain this. I get people lost when I give them directions, but I'll try. That's a warning. Anyways, okay. Here's how I do it from SketchUp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So I make the model in SketchUp. Right. All right? Which I know you don't like that word, but I'm just, you know. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then I open up the Modders Workshop. You have to have a subscription to Movie Storm, or you can buy it outright. Just buy Movie Storm. And ask, request a Modders Workshop license. Right. And you have that. Okay, you have the Modders Workshop. You open the Modders Workshop, and there's a little deal at the top that says Wizard. I click on that, and it's Import SketchUp Model, you know, SketchUp Wizard. So I click on that. I find the model in my files. I, you know, click that model, and it appears, you know, I name it and everything. It appears on the set, and then I click Finish, and it does its thing, and it turns it into CAL files, okay?
Right.
And then I go into the browser in the Modders Workshop, find it, set the shininess. If I want to bring in any normal maps, I can do it there. Do all that, save it, okay? Right. Then I log into the Modders Workshop with my publisher license.
Oh, I see.
And my password. And then I publish that mod. Now, to let a user use it, I have to pack it, which turns it into an add-on file. And there's a little box that you do not want checked that, says requires a license to use. If you check that, then they won't be able to use it. Don't check that. Pack it. Okay? It's packed. Log out of the Modders Workshop. Now, in your file structure where Movie Storm add-ons are, your new add-on should be packed into a little paper add-on file. Which is basically really similar to a zip file.
Okay.
And that's what they load. You know, you give it to people, they'll open up Movie Storm to the start screen, click on the little button that says Get More Content, click on Install Add-on, find the add-on wherever they download it onto their computer, and then it goes into Movie Storm, creates that folder for them, and then they can find it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, no, you know, makes sense.
And it was a little fast. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fine. All I know from that is that, you know, the modders themselves do not need to do any kind of fancy coding on their end. The Modders Workshop actually does that.
There's a lot of exceptions. I mean,
right.
If you make it in Blender and export it a CAL file, then you have to create the folder yourself in the add-on section
right.
and create all that. Then when you open the Modders Workshop, you find it and publish that. You don't bring anything in. You just publish that folder.
Hmm. Well, that's not too bad. I mean, I'm used to doing this for the movies. And I know about the folder structure. And pretty much every game I've seen actually uses the same conventions, meaning that, you do have a certain root folder and then all those subfolders into it to let, you know, in this case, MovieStorm know where to find stuff. And the same goes with the movies. It's pretty much set in stone, really, because that's the only way you can actually make sure that the game actually knows where to find stuff. Most of the noob questions center around, well, you know, I installed this and I can't find it. It's not my game. Well, you know, after a few, you know, a few emails or maybe PMs, you find out, yeah, it's just a folder convention snafu that actually, you know.
Exactly.
It's easily corrected.
So, you know, like for instance, okay, Chris made... I think it was Chris. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Chris Hollis. Made these awesome werewolf heads. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one kind, just one. Now, okay, I have a lot of werewolves in my series, so I needed the heads to look a little different shades. Mm-hmm. Now, the werewolf head does not show up in the Modders Workshop. Because the werewolf head is a human head that morphs into a werewolf, and it'll only show you the human head. So what I had to do was take the diff of the werewolf head and change it in Photoshop. Then I had to create a file structure, a different file, but it had to have the exact same path of where the werewolf head is in the MovieStorm add-on. So, you know, my werewolf head, data props, or data puppets, Malo one, heads, and then that's where it needed to go.
Right.
You know, the one that I changed. Then I had to go into the Modders Workshop, make a copy of, you know, the human head. And then I had to open up a file in Notepad, notebook, okay, and change the name from, you know, the werewolf head diff to the one that I made.
Right.
And then go into the Modders Workshop, publish it, open up MovieStorm, and see if my new head was in.
Oh, right.
Which it was. But, you know, yeah, if I had put the head somewhere else, it wouldn't be there.
Right, right. Well, you know, same with different variations of costumes. You know, the hardest part I find is when you cannot bypass certain names. You know, like, for instance, in costumes, lucky for us in TM, you have versions 00 and then 01, 02. So by default, the game tends to look for the very last one. And then if it finds it, once you ask for another one, it'll sort of wrap around to 00 again, right? The problem comes when you cannot have more than one version of one specific item at one time. You know, that's where you have to overwrite, you know, the default, you know, asset. And this is where you run into trouble, because if you forget where it is and you have to go back to the original, you're pretty much stuck with the new one. And until you can get rid of it.
Yeah. Never overwrite the original, because,
yeah.
That's bad. See,
yeah, in that respect, I think MovieStorm is a little bit more dangerous, I think, simply because, you know, everything is sort of like out in the open, right? In the movies, it's all in the compressed, pack files, so you can't really overwrite anything in the pack files. Right. As in, I think MovieStorm is just like everywhere, everything is right there. You can actually see it, you know. So this is where I'm getting ill, you know.
All you have to do is go into the Modders Workshop. Okay, you want to create a folder for your thing that you're going to make, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, for instance, I helped Jake out with the Roger Thong.
Yes.
Somebody else made it for him. But what they told him to do was overwrite the original, and I told him, don't do that. Give it to me, I'll fix it, okay? Yeah. So I go into Movie Storm, and I copy the body. Uh-huh. What I do is I bring up the body, and I change the name, find the new folder I made, and then hit save. And what it does is saves a copy. Right. Then I have to log out and log back in, and then I can put those files onto that body and save it. So it'll... both will be there instead of just overriding the original. Yeah, people do that. They don't think about that. Because, you know, oh, I won't need that. Well, you might. And you know what you're going to have to do to get it back? Uninstall and reinstall. And it takes a while to do that.
Times. my last time I had MovieStorm installed, I had it installed once on another computer, and my lord, it took forever just to get, you know, installation for one, and then downloading the updates, and then the new stuff, and then, you know, you have free stuff to begin with, and then it's. And every time I would load it, there would be something else, and now it would take time, and it was frustrating, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can sympathize with you. I mean, having to reinstall, I'd rather let the users actually do that. And this is why when I do actually get into big-time modding for MovieStorm, I will avoid overwriting anything by default, simply because, one, you don't know when you'll want to get back to the original, and as a general rule, you don't want to overwrite anything. It's bad.
Yeah, and you never know what other, you know, mods, you know, what other parts use that part that you just changed.
And I'm always afraid that if I do overwrite something, it's going to break on a general level. Like, for instance, when I do costumes in the movies, I will use MED to create what they call the COS file, which is basically a text or binary text that says, okay, this costume is made up of these parts and these parts, and it goes into this era, it's made for a male or female, whatever. Well, sometimes MED actually corrupts that file. And the only way you can actually see it to be corrupted is when you open the game, and the game will crash for no reason whatsoever other than the fact that it's got a new costume in there. Now, it took me a while to figure out which part of that costume actually made it crash, and it turns out it's the smallest one. And this is where, you know, it really... it's really interesting. A corrupted COS file will actually have 1K. A good one will actually have 1K also. But one will crash the game, the other one won't.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And until you take it out, and I mean really, seriously, you find it, you delete it. Until you do that, the game will always crash no matter what you do. Even if you don't use it, by default it will load up on opening, and boom, the computer will just simply refuse to open it. The game will crash, and if you're on a system like mine right now, you'll have to reboot. So going into MovieStorm, knowing how finicky it is, I am not going to mess with the original. Trust me. You know, they can be reassured that, you know, a Mike DeBoring mod will not crash MovieStorm.
Just go into the modders workshop, rename it, and save it in your new folder. That's all you have to do.
Well, that's good to know, because you'll be doing most of it. Ha-ha!
Yes, and thankfully they've made it so you can't publish the modders workshop, because before you could... hit publish, and if you had the modders workshop selected, oh yeah, it did bad things. Mm. I once lost half of my costume, some hair, most of the heads.
Ouch. Ouch.
Went into MovieStorm, and they were just, you couldn't use them.
Oh.
It's like, really? Wow. Yeah, that was my first uninstall, reinstall.
Oh, I feel your pain.
Yeah. I was talking to, I believe it was Ben S. He's like, did you publish the Modders Workshop? I said, oh, I think I might have. He's like, oh, yeah. Uninstall, reinstall. But, you know, in a more intellectual sort of way, because...
nothing you care to expand on air. Yeah, we have Chris and Witch for that. Anyway, yeah, I'm actually taking requests for those people out there. One at a time, please. Do not fill my email box, please.
Okay, I have a list. Wait, let me finish my list. It's 250 things. That's okay, right?
Okay. Can you send it? Yeah.
Yes, I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, no,
I
expect
that.
It. Actually, I expect it. Actually, it's funny because someone actually asked me to create an entire world once. It was based on Fallout, and they asked me, "Can you recreate the entire world just for the movies?" And I'm going, no.
Well, yeah. Okay. You know the Harry Potter stories?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know the Lord of the Rings?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know the weird costumes in Series of Unfortunate Events?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you just combine that into one pack?
Okay. My first gut instinct is says, okay, where's the
Oh, wait, and Escape to Witch Mountain.
You know, oh, that, really?
The new one, not the old
one. Oh, the new one. Oh, I thought you were going retro on this one. Okay.
Yeah, I don't need the camper thing.
Okay. Gee darn, I'll almost have one handy right now. Darn. Oh, well. Too bad. Yeah, the list can become long, and I don't know what your timeline is, but if you have several lifetimes, maybe I can get half of it done. These things will... By the way...
Big robot things from War of the Worlds.
You know, oh, really?
Yeah, those would be good.
War of the Worlds. Actually, I'm actually thinking, and I was actually working on one for Chris when he was doing the War of the Worlds for the movies, and... I stopped for some reason. I don't know why. Probably ran out of time. And that could actually work, really. And since you can import animations, I do believe, in MovieStorm.
You can what now?
Import new animations?
Yes.
Okay. Well, having a tripod actually work is easy. So, yeah. Having a Death Ray mounted machine on three legs, yeah, that could work.
Papa G has a question.
Okay.
He wants to know, what is your style of modding, and what do you like to mod the most?
My style of modding is mostly, it's mostly game-ish looking, meaning that I could do million poly plus models, but that wouldn't work, you know. I have to be realistic.
I think MovieStorm would laugh, and there would be the skull and crossbones.
Probably.
Green smoke would come out of your computer.
Oh, yeah. And that's just for opening it and reading the file and, you know.
No, that's just when you download it and MovieStorm sees it. You go, what?
Oh, yeah.
That's not going here, right? No, it's not going here.
Yeah. No way, it's not going anywhere. So, like I said, my modding style is mostly game-ish looking, so everything is optimized. However, my texture and look style is mostly photorealistic. So I try to merge the best of both worlds, where what I cannot put in geometry, I will add in textures. MovieStorm being able to actually use normal maps, I can add a whole lot more details without actually adding more geometry to a model. So,
yeah.
You know, I could technically, let's say for instance, if I do the FN90, I could actually paint scratches and details that would take 5, 6, maybe 10,000 polys to model and into a 60K normal map. And, you know, it would look just as good, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So, you know, so that way I can optimize my style and still keep realism, you know, as high as I can possibly make it. I used to be, well, what am I saying? I still am and always will be a graphic artist. And I used to do airbrushing. So my years of design work has always been improving, and I tend to add more realism than people actually expect. So whenever I do a project, I always say to myself, okay, can we see this? Will we see this? If I can't justify putting a lot of detail into a model, I will tend to, you know, tone it down a bit, but still, I will always put a lot more than people expect. So, it's, like I said, modeling-wise, it's always low-poly game, early game look, but the texture, final look, is always more towards photorealistic. Unless, of course, the model dictates that it has a semi-cartoonish look or more simple look, you know, whatever the project actually asks for, I'll tend to put more in it than is usually required, simply because I love the craft, I love modding, I love creating stuff, and you know, I like to boast.
What do you like to mod the most, though? That was the
The most. Oh, gee. Now that's a tough one because I've done pretty much everything. I mean, I guess it depends on the model itself. I've done mods that were sort of throwaways that I put a lot of heart and soul in it, and then I did a lot of other mods that, for all intent purposes, were the main character, but for some reason it just didn't click. So I may have been, you know, a little bit more restrained in that. My first love was always vehicles, so I just love creating cars, planes, spaceships, costumes. Lately, yeah. I'm kind of liking it. Props. It's kind of a mix. Depending on the props, you know. You know, it depends on the subject matter. But mostly, my first love was I started, you know, modeling vehicles. My very very first model in 3D was the Death Star. And with the entire trench. So, you know, it was space, you know, it was basically for a ball. It had, I think, 9,000 faces. So, yeah, it was a very, very detailed ball. Yeah, it all depends on the project.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think it's probably about time to wrap it up because we're keeping Ken longer than he's supposed to be here.
If he hasn't left already.
Yeah, he just left.
Well, he just went to burgers and more. Cheeseburgers. Yeah.
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah. I want a cheeseburger. Fries.
Yeah. I'm sure he's taking me with him.
Hey, you know what? I just realized something. Yeah, that Burger of Doom. Yeah. I don't think there's any equivalent to in Movie Storm, right?
Right.
That would be a good prop to you know. I mean, it's already big in movies. gee, do I have enough real estate space on my screen to fit it on the scale of Movie Storm? Ooh, maybe not. I'll probably have to get a second monitor just to figure it out. Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming, Mike.
Thank you, handsome.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yeah, so any final words?
Look out for the movies, Burger of Doom making its way to Movie Storm. Fear.
Yeah. And just watch Ken eat it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I don't want the image.
All right, Jake, you want to take us out?
Sure. And on that sickening note, we'd like to thank you for listening to the Storm Hour.